And welcome back. Dave Petzl joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning on this beautiful, well, this beautiful day in Idaho. So, Dave, let's take a look at the comments of the Fed. They, you know, recently where they're just saying, I believe it was Wednesday, where the Fed is saying what we've all said. It would be nice that we can be safe, but just these long-term impact of people staying at home and the government being shut down, you know, there are fears that we might not eventually be able to recover from this.
No, that's absolutely. And some businesses aren't going to recover, Kevin. We know that. Every single week that we stay closed, month or however you want to phrase it, adds another percentage. And I don't mean 1% or 2%. We don't know the exact number, but we know that let's just make numbers up. Since we've been closed, we're going to lose 10% of the small businesses out there, and we're going to lose 5% of the big businesses out there permanently, not to be replaced by somebody else. They're gone, and they're not coming back in some form. It's not creative destruction where we are creating a new industry, replacing a not as good a one. This is just gone. So, and then we go to 2 months, and maybe that number goes to another 10%, and so on. So, we're just making numbers up. We don't know the exact impact, but we absolutely know that that's exactly what's going to happen, Kevin. And we still are staying closed, and in some states they're acting like well, New York, what, we're going to stay closed until July. That's incredible. That's insane. So many businesses will never come back. It'll never look the same. So I think that we are starting to embrace this. And this, I'm going to roll with this just a little bit, Kevin, because it's a simple question as to how many or what's going to happen, what Powell said. And it's an important statement that we all are like, wow, although the market didn't like it, it's like, well, what, did this surprise anybody? That everything wasn't just going to be happy days and reopen without any consequences. I think some people who don't understand maybe anything thought that that might happen. We just turn a switch off for a little while, take a long vacation, and then turn it back on, and everybody's back at work. It doesn't work that way, and people run out of money, and that's where we're at. But we are seeing so many states do very well here by reopening, that I think it puts pressure also on those states that are not. We have Elon Musk coming out and saying, you know, this is, we're going to open, arrest me. And I don't think Elon Musk will go down as a great, you know, revolutionary.
Well, that's your boy, Elon Musk. You are all about Musk and Tesla.
Sure. I am about innovators and creators, maybe not so much him. But anyway, this is a guy that is defying the government orders in California. And they're not going to arrest him. They're not going to shut him down because he simply said, we are leaving. We're going to go to Nevada. We're going to go to Texas. We're leaving here because you guys are crazy. You are crazy liberal, and I've got to get out of here. And he was serious, and he called their bluff, and you know what? He won. They're back. They backed down. And so we're seeing that. We see that in Texas with the salon owners. We see it right here in Idaho where people are simply opening up. They're just, you know, it's not in your face, big banners. Hey, come see us. I guess up in Kendrick they did a little bit of that. I happened to catch that on Fox News the other day. So we are seeing that. We're seeing where people are saying enough's enough. It's not just going out and getting in the face at Capitol buildings. People are flat saying, come and arrest me, but here's what I'm going to do. And you know what? I'm taking my kid for a walk. You know what? I'm going to go for a run on the beach. And you go ahead and arrest me, and I've got all these video cameras out here to show people how stupid this is. You release prisoners from the penitentiary, and then you arrest me for trying to save my business. That's the insanity we're at, and it's putting pressure on politicians to quit being idiots. And I really think it will help get this thing open because some of these states are doing quite well. We are not seeing a huge surge. We know we're going to see a surge, Kevin. That's the craziness. We can't stop this from happening. It's going to happen. We need that herd immunity. We can't lock down for the next 5 years.
Dave Petzl joining us, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial. I get it, but then you have Dr. Fauci. You know, Fauci basically saying reopening early could have really serious consequences. And like you, people taking issue with that. Now, I got to give you a hard time. You're not a big fan of Musk because half the time your beloved government bails him out, and yet he's hailed as this great innovator and entrepreneur.
Correct. That's true. So I'll take the Musk thing first.
Okay.
I appreciate him out and doing it, whatever. And like I said, he's not going to go down as a great revolutionary. He knows how to turn the government, and he is the greatest lobbyist in the history of the planet. But I do like it when somebody is bold like that and says, we are opening, come arrest me. I like that, and it forced their hand, and they folded. And I think they're going to keep folding. So places like, you know, do I really think New York's going to be shut down through July? No, I don't. I don't think there's no chance de Blasio hangs on to that thought. So I do appreciate that, but you're quite right. Elon Musk is a corporate welfare recipient on steroids, without a doubt.
Right, and yet he's even had it with California. Now, you take a look at California. They've decided to do something interesting. No property taxes this year, but they ran out of money, so they've had to go to the feds.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that nice? You just arbitrarily decide, well, that's okay. We'll go get money from them. Is that okay with you here where you're fiscally responsible? I don't think our governor is going to want to just simply write a check to California for our share of their bill. That's crazy.
Right.
You know, you don't just get to arbitrarily say, well, we are out of money, so therefore, where's our government help? Where's our helicopters of money? We need to figure it out. Idaho does. California has to figure out their own mess. And they're in such a mess, they see this crisis as an opportunity to fix all of their problems in the past. And I just don't think in this country, certainly not under this president, is that going to happen.
The problem here at KIDO Talk Radio and across the country is, again, the money.
Yep.
And, you know, we've got $3 trillion. And as you and I have talked about for years, you got the looming pension time bombs. Now, the states are saying, hey, this is a great way to bail us out.
Yep.
We can get our pension funds up to date. If not, there's another big time bomb.
Well, it is. And also, of course, this affects the markets, which affects what? The shortage in the pension funds because they don't get any earnings on it. We're at zero interest rates, so the bond portfolio is getting nothing. We are at a stock market that has come down from its highs, not too far at this point, but it's come down from its highs. It's not growing. So it's a double whammy, right? So the pensions are actually declining in value, and they have to pay out the pensioners, and they've always run this on numbers that are unrealistic, and they can't they will not be able to match up in the future, no matter how good the stock market does. So you've got a double whammy going on here, and they do want bailed out. Again, it's ridiculous. It's a money grab for their past, if you will, indiscretions and buying votes, and so it won't work. I don't think it's going to work at all. But they're going to have to try because apparently Democrats believe that every crisis breeds the opportunity to make changes that legislation won't do. In other words, the American people don't really want it, but let's shove it down their throat in the form of a crisis.
Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. How does this compare to The Big Short? How does this compare to 9/11?
No comparison, really, because as far as declines, as far as concerns, they're all three different, right? It's a really good question. We all try to find some parallel historically because we're in a time right now where we are very bundled down. Everything's intense. Everybody's arguing and fighting, and it's just not – our world has changed and shifted, and it affects us in very emotional ways. So we want something to grab onto. Well, it's like this time or like that time. All three are different. We had a tech bubble that burst. Many companies were fine in 2000 through 2002. 9/11, of course, set everything back. But it also said – everything stopped at that point in time, and then it restarted, right? We started right back up. Now we're doing this, I don't know when we can open, and every state's different, and it's the governors are deciding this, and they're all different. So it's a whole different world. And when we talk about the financial collapse, Kevin, the banks were in bad shape. We were overlevered. They were overlevered. We nearly had a financial collapse at that time. This is way different than that. The banks are good. Money is flowing. If you want to worry about inflation, you know we can worry about it in the future. It's just not here today. But the money supply is actually exploding higher, and it wasn't at that time.
Dave Pezzo joining us, Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. But we take a look at, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, the unemployment is at historic levels. But before that, if We've got about a little over a minute left on this one. How do you see the state of Idaho responding to all this? And could Idaho be a place where people would, you know, come and vacation? I mean, they were joking about Allen and Company on Billions this week.
Yeah. They will, but in diminished numbers everywhere that's relying on tourism. Can you imagine how desperate California beaches will be with no tourists coming in? How bad Hawaii is going to be when the flights aren't full, right? This is a really big spin out to the tourist industry, and Idaho does benefit from that, as most states do to some degree. I want to see the country, right? I want to go to places I haven't been. I want to go to the parks. We're just not going to see them coming in to our great Tetons and things like that like we have in the past. So it's definitely going to be a diminished tourist season. I think it'll be back next year, but that's my optimistic side that says at least by then we'll have therapeutics.
Optimistic. Dave Pezzo, more next. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. And it's about money today here on KIDO Talk Radio. Dave Pezzo with us. We're kind of switching roles here for a moment on this Saturday. So, Dave, you take a look at Vegas, and apparently there's going to be no buffets. You come in, you got to be masked up, and they're going to try and get that back to normal. Obviously, MGM and others have been taking such a beating. I know you're a Reno guy, but you take a look at Vegas and the economic trauma that city, that state, that region has really suffered.
I can't imagine. And can you imagine the pressure on the governor, not just from the casinos, but all of the workers and the budget that they have to reopen? But how in the world do you do that? You know, it's hard to imagine a craps game where you're standing around elbow to elbow, talking into each other's faces, handling the chips and the dice, all from the same people. It's going to be different. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe you don't have a game like that for a while. But I'm sure there are many people have spent millions of hours looking at this and figuring out a way to do it. It's going to be tough. And envisioning that the Las Vegas Strip will look anything like it did last summer, I mean remotely, like saying, well, we'll get half the tourists back, I think is ridiculous. I just don't know how they're going to do that, because I don't think most people are going to go and jump right back into that. It's a tourist destination to what we were talking about before, but this one is a mass of humanity all next to each other. And until we come up with better therapeutics, I just don't know how you open up and be in close quarters like that, Kevin. So I can't imagine the pressure. What a tough thing for Las Vegas.
Sure.
Very tough.
But if you're in the gaming industry, I mean, economically, how do you come back?
In the very long term.
Especially with the shows and all that, too. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It just goes on and on, doesn't it? It really does. You think about that. You think about why do people go? One of the things I like to go to Reno for are the shows, right? You go down for a show. You go for a concert. So-and-so is going to be in town. That'll be fun. And then you get all the other stuff with it, right? It's just like a big entertainment thing. But you start taking pieces out. Are people really going to go just to throw the dice? Not as much. Right? They want the outside things, and they're not coming for a long time either. Think about the concert industry, to your point, too. That's just been devastated. So you've got all these arenas, you've got all these convention centers everywhere waiting for people to come back, and they're not going to be able to gather in the way we did, at least for a while. So hopefully it'll be in the long term. The answer, Kevin, is can these companies hang on? Can they find financing? And are they critical enough for the government to give them low interest or no cost loans? That's going to be companies like Boeing. They have access to capital because they're integral to the system. But really, is MGM Grand integral to the system? I don't think so. So you do have, do they have enough cash? Can they make it? And will they be able to slow down by opening up a few casinos or a few places to slow down the bleed? That's the key.
Dave Pezzo joining us, Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio, and then we go on to the airline business.
Wow, what a tough one.
Yeah.
Closed quarters anyway. And
sure.
I think you said something, it probably was just a few days ago, when you were talking about how what it'd be like on an airplane and with your mask on as well. You're already claustrophobic, and now you got a mask on. It's not going to be a great situation for people. It's not. And we can talk about social distancing, but how distant is it to be right, you know, really basically one empty chair between you.
If you're lucky.
Or an aisle, right? Well, I think that most airlines now have gone to no middle seats. No, it doesn't matter how full.
You know, it took this pandemic to get rid of those damn middle seats. Gosh, I hate the middle seats. Is there anything worse than the middle seat?
There's nothing worse than a middle seat.
Right.
No, there's not. Unless you're right next to the toilet. That's,
right.
That is worse. Yep.
Been there.
Yeah. It's, but anyway, the point is that I think these costs are going to go up. I think travel's going to be different. Would I pay $100 more for a trip? Yes, but I can. Can a family of four that's barely going to make it to get over to the beach for their weekly? I don't know. Maybe there's more driving. So I think that the airline industry is going to look different. The prices have to come up on tickets because you're obviously going to reduce the seating capacity by a third. And I think it's going to come back. And it really all amounts to people having confidence that they're going to be safe. Kevin, you and I both know that this is the bottom line, and we all talk about testing and all those other things. But the truth of the matter is, when do those people in the middle, there's people that, I have 90-year-olds that won't leave their house. I have 90-year-old clients that are like, I'm going to die soon enough anyway. I'm going to, certainly what days I have left, I'm going to live. They're not afraid. They want to go see their grandkids. They want to go do things. Others are very fearful. It's a very different feeling for different people. When people who are more fearful, and I don't mean the ones that won't leave the house, but the people that are more like, I don't know if I need to do that, when they start saying, I have had enough and I do feel comfortable enough to travel, that's when everything explodes and reopens the way it will look more like it did.
Sure, but I mean, flying is stressful enough, and then, you know, I guess they're going to give you the wand and the this and the that. That's got to be crazy. You think, just is there any way that we can kind of manage the fear, manage the expectations, if you will? We're adults, but just this whole culture of uncertainty and anxiety, and then you throw people into these airplanes.
Yep. I think, you know, it's going to be a more tense situation, and especially let's say somebody feels like they have to, their schedule says, I got to get back, or I've got a wedding to get to, and you can't get on the plane. That's
not going to be fun.
That's not going to be fun. Or people will say, you know what, I just can't take the chance that I could get sick, spike a temperature. It doesn't have to be COVID, but I could get sick, and then I can't get home. So I think that whole idea that everybody's going to have their temperature checked is supposed to bring confidence, but I'm not sure it brings confidence. Because if I get trapped, you know, on my vacation in Hawaii, it's not like my life stops and I have to figure out how can I get what flight, what if all the seats are taken, how many days am I going to have to wait to get home, how many things have to get canceled, so I don't go.
Right. No, I totally agree with you on that. And that's the challenge that the airline industry is going to have. So you believe, though, the prices will rise because they're going to get rid of the seats.
I do. I think it has to. And I don't think that's a bad choice. It's just not a bad choice to say, all right, how do we solve the problem that everybody wants to fly? Well, we can't all sit together. Remember the airlines, how they were thinking in the day? Well, let's just make it super cheap, and we'll get the seats even closer. And remember that if we don't have the reclining seats, if we have all people could stand up and just kind of lean on something,
right.
They actually tried that for a while. Six across, right? Just leaning right against each other, just like this big old cattle truck going.
Right.
We're obviously going to move away from that, and we can't, so costs have to come up.
Or they're actually thinking about putting the middle seat so you're flying backwards.
Oh, yeah, right. And doing what? Breathing on the other two behind?
Right. Well, what happens in one of these, whether it's a bus or whether it's a plane, when somebody sneezes? We look at sneezing totally different now.
We definitely do.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. No, as soon as somebody sneezes, it's like, run.
Right.
Right. It's like the joke somebody the other day had their mask, right? And then they pulled their mask down and sneezed. It's like, okay, I'm not sure why we have but again, it's the same thing. You sneeze inside your mask, it's toxic too, I guess. I don't know. We have got a situation here where people are trying to figure this out. We're trying to figure out how we can still travel, be together, and not be as concerned as people really are.
Right. And again, whether it's the government or what have you, people have been highly critical of Mayor McClain, highly critical of Governor Little. What are you hearing from the business community?
They're highly critical. Yeah, they absolutely are, especially here in Boise. The idea that we are not a hot spot is, but they're still keeping salons and things like that closed, which are allowed to open, and you know, right there in Eagle, Meridian, everywhere else.
It's funny when you say right here in Boise. It's like a punch in the gut to me.
Yeah,
Boise's a nice place, but I mean, just you know, you guys have that Boise-centric vibe.
Oh. Boise, right next door,
yeah,
in Garden City. Meridian, they're opening up. What is the point? Why are you making this point? And I really feel for those businesses who are just trying to hang on and they just really want to get opened again. And we're sitting there waiting. It seems punitive. And it's not science.
Boy, that's a strong word. The mayor told us earlier in the week it is science.
Why? What is the science about it? All around you, everybody's open, but they're not going to somehow affect you.
They're ignoring the stuff from Central District, Southwest District. The mayor says, this is what she says. This isn't Kevin Miller. She says, look, science tells us this is what we have to do to keep people safe. That's why the pools are going to be closed. That's why the playgrounds are still closed.
And again, it makes absolutely zero sense. None. Now, playgrounds where kids touch it, I suppose. But kids are not the problem. But still. We're talking about middle of summer. You can't actually get into a pool. If they really feel that strongly about it, then shut the bathrooms, if that's the deal. Well, we can't. We can't. Blah, blah. I mean, there's always a reason why we can't. Instead of why, how can we? How can we get life back? Why is the answer always no? Oh, it's just science. It's not science. We don't even know. The whole science thing, you were talking about Fauci earlier. It's like he's been wrong the entire time. 2 million people are going to die. No, it's like 200,000 people are going to die. We don't have any idea what's going to happen. He told us it wasn't going to be a problem 2 months ago, and now he's telling us we can't open again. I don't get it. We just grab whatever science we want. I'm not a scientist. I'm just saying that it isn't gone out of control when people are actually in Florida in swimming pools. We have something to look at. So what science are we saying? You can't get into a pool in the middle of the summer. It's idiotic.
Dave Pezzo, president of the Dr. Fauci Press Club. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. KIDO Talk Radio, welcome to Money Matters. No, I haven't taken over. Dave Pezzo's with us here. Kevin Miller, as we just take a look at just the overall economic impact from a not only a fiscal sense, but a psychological sense of the coronavirus. You know, it's hard to believe, Dave Pezzo, that we're looking at numbers as far as unemployment. We talked about this last hour, rivaling those of the Great Depression. Never before would we ever think that we would see that in our lifetime.
We didn't.
Yeah.
And just like that. It's really stunning. It's really stunning and hard for us to imagine the shape we were in, but 2.5-3 months ago. The greatest economic conditions in the world's history. Right there. Everybody was employed. Wages were rising, particularly for the lowest paid individuals, going through the roof. Amazing. Stunning times. And everybody predicting nothing but blue skies ahead. Sunshine and rainbows. And now we took this voluntarily. Oh, yep. People say it's not voluntary. It is voluntary. Sweden decided not to lock down. We decided to lock down. We decided to destroy the economy, destroy small business, and many big businesses as well will not be coming back from this. But right or wrong, I'm just saying that was the decision we made. And now the jobs numbers, within a couple of months, Kevin, are worse than they were in the Great Depression, the worst of all time. It's unbelievable what we've done. And now we're just printing money, and it's time. We have to change that because we can't just keep doing it. And every day that goes by, more businesses will never reopen. That is the concern now. How do we get back? How soon can we get back? And that's where we're seeing all these differences state to state. So many states are trying to reopen. Others are not doing it. We see it right here in Idaho, where we have in Boise. No, we're not going to do this. You can't even go to the swimming pool. I have no clue what the science is about that one. That makes no sense. When we have beaches in Florida that have been open and nobody's dying. Well, some people die, but I get that. But when we take this away and you look at it, Kevin, 50% of the deaths are in nursing homes. 50%. That means to the rest of us who are not in nursing homes, the chances of us dying of the coronavirus are so minuscule. It just doesn't even register. But because of the constant news feed, the unknown, the psychology of this, and I love the way you introduced this, this is not just economic. This is a psychological thing. This is really affecting people.
It is.
At a deep level. You can argue all day long that this makes no sense, but I will tell you it makes absolute sense to whatever individual will not leave their house.
Well, you know, what do you make of Sony? 56% loss in profits. They're down 56%.
I'm surprised they have any profits, right? I mean, it's impossible to do business right now. And what we're going to be seeing, in my opinion, is other businesses that are beginning to feel the impact. They didn't think they would, right? And then you're going to start seeing that, whether it's building, it's in construction, in the trades, people putting off jobs that just don't really need to be done right now. Instead of pushing forward, they're being pushed back. When we have all of these things that are changing so much, it's going to affect everything else. Just not in the first couple months. But I think we're going to start seeing that unless we bend that curve and start taking this bus off of its free fall to the bottom here. And again, I don't understand, and we'll say it's not, to me, it's not science. It's made up. We pretend it's science as if we would know what the virus was going to do. I'm not pretending to know. I'm just simply saying, based on the data, based on what all the experts have said, they have been 100% wrong, and they continue to change, and they never admit being wrong. So when we move from within 2 months, the expert of the planet telling us that there's really not a problem here in America, there's no reason to run around with face masks, there's no reason to shut down the schools, to telling us we can never reopen again, why am I listening to this guy?
Dave Pezzo, indeed. Now I've got a good one for you about your beloved stock market. Billionaire investor Stanley Druckenmiller. You hang out with him at Sun Valley sometimes?
I do not hang with him, but yes.
When you're
Druckenmiller, yes.
Yeah, Druckenmiller.
Yeah.
Miller, Druckenmiller, whatever his name is. When you're at Sun Valley for the Allen & Company thing.
Right? Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Says the stock market risk reward is the worst he's ever seen and downplays the Fed's ability to rescue the economy, according to the Market Insider. What do you think?
Well,
I'm sure you would agree with that because you're, you know, when it comes to the markets, you're right there with them.
To a degree. I don't think, well, it depends on what kind of, what basis it's on. I don't think that the Fed is the reason that the market has been saved. I don't think that they can. I don't think the Fed running rates to zero, buying bonds or what have you, saves it. The economy saves it. And the real question here is, will the economy come back and how quickly? Now, we don't have to be immediate, but I would still say to this, and he's a smart man, been very successful, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And they're all the way through bull markets, there's always smart people that doubt what's going on. I'm not sure why the risk-reward in his mind is any different when you're talking about the great corporations like Apple, Google, Amazon. To me, I'm not sure why the risk-reward for those would be terrible. If he's talking about the risk reward for airlines and hotels and casino stocks, things like that, I'm not going to disagree with him at all. To me, they should be avoided until we have a better handle on whether they'll survive or not. I don't think you try to buy them any more than you try to buy Chesapeake Energy because you might be able to avoid bankruptcy. And nobody thinks they will. Any more than you should buy pot stocks that lose money just because lots of people are smoking pot. There are lots of reasons not to buy certain sectors, and I would agree with him. Anything in leisure, travel, all those things, that I am suspicious of them coming back and being very profitable anytime soon. Let me put it that way. So overall to the market, I think you have to be, as always, well, maybe not always, but I think you need to be more rifle approach and buy the great companies that are clearly have great balance sheets.
So you're a fan of the S&P?
I am a fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, in the S&P, which is roughly speaking 450 stocks, I would say you could probably toss out half of those for being in an industry that makes no sense. I don't want to be in an automobile industry. I don't want to. People are like, well, what do you think of Ford or GM? I don't know. I don't follow them because why would I follow them? They've been terrible investments for decades, and they don't look any better going forward. What about the airlines? Can't own them right now. I don't know how you would ever run a spreadsheet on what your anticipation was. So when you run through and take out a bunch of those companies that are big but don't have good balance sheets, I think you wind up with something more like an S&P 250,
right?
That I'd like to own.
Well, we'll have to see whether you're right or Drunken Miller's right.
Well, he's Drunk Miller.
Drunken Miller on this show. Let's continue on here. When we take a look at just again some of these tech stocks, we've got a lot of folks, Intel and others, saying might be time to move out of China. What do you think?
About time. It's about time. China's going to be the big loser in this in the end. I know people that are saying, oh, that China's a big winner because they can do this. They think of the long game. Whatever. China is the big loser because the world now knows who the enemy is, and they didn't want to admit it before. Only Kevin Miller knew it early on. But it's we've all been made aware of how bad they are, and this is just not going to help them at all. And so the supply chains were moving under Trump's tariffs already. This will accelerate it, and we will not be producing as much in China, and I don't think the Germans will. I don't think the French will, and so on.
Our great friend Dave Pezzo joining us, a special edition of Money Matters. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about the history of the program, but we are continuing on about economics. I love this. What is it? SAS. They're going to require people to wear face masks on all their flights. I'm pretty sure that wherever you go, you're going to be wearing the masks. And you imagine going to Hawaii or to Europe or any of those places. It's a long time in the mask.
It's a long time in the mask, for sure. I guess we would probably get used to it. I guess doctors can do hours of surgery in a mask. We will get used to it if that's what's required. But I'll tell you, the only place that I've worn this is through the halls here. And it doesn't take long to want that thing off. So it's a...
We try to be compliant here at the broadcast center.
I totally, and I will comply wherever I have to, right? Yeah.
Even on Saturdays when there's no one here.
That's right.
During the week when there's no one here.
It's a little
too.
Weird, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, this is what the rule is, so I comply. I try to find little places where I can bend the rules here or there just to feel human, but this isn't one that I need to rest on. And so I will be one of those people that happily put it on if that's what the folks say you need to do to get on an airplane. But you're right. It's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be very uncomfortable.
Well, we are comfortable here with our great friend Dave Pezzo. We will be here for the hour of Money Matters. And coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of Money Matters and why Dave Pezzo continues to do this show year after year after year. And those of you that have been new to the Treasure Valley, or you're like Jim in Boise that calls all the time, you're going to want to stay here for this one, because again, it's doing talk radio, any type of radio, is easier said than done, and Dave Pezzo does an exceptional job. More next, KIDO Talk Radio. And you know, it's funny, even though we're here on a Saturday, I want to say rolling on the right side, but this is your show, Money Matters, Dave Pezzo, Kevin Miller, I guess the celebrity co-host. So, you know, I've never asked you this before, but the history of this program, day in and day out, we know how the program started. We'll talk a little bit about that, but day in, day out, week in and week out, you come in here, and I kind of equate watching you in studio like you're an evangelical, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Evangelical.
Evangelical in your approach to talking about money and empowerment. So where did you get the idea for this?
Well, interesting question. It actually kind of was on a bet. You know how young guys
are? A bet?
Yeah, almost, yeah. It was almost like that. It was like, okay, so what happened was I was 25 or 6 years old.
You were never 25.
I started in this industry when I literally got my first license. I was still 18.
Wow.
Yeah, 19. I turned 19 that month.
Holy moly.
Yeah, and it was 1980 in Boise.
Ooh.
Horrible. horrible conditions. That was right after Jimmy Carter. We had 21.5% interest rates. Nobody was building, moving, doing anything. Unemployment was double digit, and particularly for people like me. So it was a grind. So I had to see 10 times the number of people to get one yes than anybody else did. That's all right. That meant I got pretty good at it a little quicker.
But wait a minute. You're okay. Seeing people that are like, could be your parents or grandparents, and you're 18, 19.
It's a good thing some of them felt sorry for me and gave me a zucchini to take home to eat. I'm just telling
right?
you. It was hard. Yeah, it was 60, 70 hours. I called hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people that just basically hung up their phone, slammed the door, told me to go pound sand. It's hard. It was really hard. And I don't want to do that again. But I got a break about when I was 22, 23. And the Blaine County School District, which is why I will always love Sun Valley. They let me go talk to the school teachers about saving money in their tax sheltered annuities.
So wait a minute, you're here in Boise,
mm-hmm.
and they say, hey, why don't you come up and talk to these folks in Sun Valley?
Yep, referred in, and it was just, for a young kid, it was crazy. Crazy to get to do that.
Was it easy for you to speak in public?
To one-on-one, it was, yeah.
But I mean, but just like group of people,
fortunately, that wasn't what it was. It was finding, talking to them one-on-one.
Okay.
And no, I wasn't good at it in a group. Very unnerving, yeah. And really, it was just one of those things where I got this huge break. And the superintendent of schools up there, Dick Jones was his name, and unfortunately, he died. I mean, like, immediately after saying, okay, you can come do this. And it's like, now what do I do? He literally had a heart attack and died that night. Well, the new guy came in and said, that's all right. Go ahead and keep going. I was like, okay, this is great. So I had all summer. I basically lived in a hotel room during the week, drove home on the weekends, and I turned the corner. That was my big break. Shortly after that, I was able to, for the radio show, back to your original question.
Right.
They wanted to do this ladies thing, you know, and you know how I feel about it. The men's thing, the ladies thing. It's just a silly thing. It's like women supposedly think about life in so many different ways than men do, or we have to have only women at a women's event. Well, anyway, they were doing this, and this gal didn't want to pay all the money herself. The radio station here, their group of stations was putting this on with the Boise Mall. So anyway, I said, well, she didn't want to pay the whole bill. And with that, you got some advertising. So I said to the gal, well, what are you supposed to do? Sing a jingle about a financial guy? I mean, it's like you get 30 spots or something
right.
for this. That's what it is. And then you get a stupid table in the middle of the mall, like people are going to go, oh, good, I want to invest money with you. It was horrible. So she said, well, fine, what do you want to do? You want to do a radio show? And I said, sure. What is that?
Anybody could do that, yeah.
Yeah, why not? Let's try that. And so that's how it started, and it was literally on a station, as you know, at that time, 30 years ago. There was nothing. Sexual deviance, freaks. It was call in. It was like the Martians are coming. It was nothing. This was pre-Rush Limbaugh.
Right. It's the Wild West of talk radio.
It was. Yeah. And so on this, and it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Now, this is just a little inside. You know how bad that is. There's, unless it's 3 a.m. on a Saturday, there's no worse time on radio. Yeah. None. A Saturday afternoon, terrible, right?
Right.
So nobody's listening. Great place to start learning.
Sure.
And so they have this 22-year-old gal is working the shift. I hand her a list of questions because she doesn't know anything about finance. Go. And so we go for an hour. And my whole training, I didn't know what to do. I said, what do? I walk in the first day. I didn't sleep for a week. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I go in, and she says, well, you just talk into the microphone. I said, okay, but I haven't done this before. So anyway, that was a good place to kind of get your chops. It took me 6 months before I had my first client from it.
Right.
It takes time.
It does take time, and you have to be authentic. That's what the beauty about radio is. People, I mean, because it's nonverbal, or I'm sorry, it's non-physical, it's all verbal. People can tell whether you're authentic, but from that time to today.
Yeah.
So why do you continue to do this day in and day out? I mean, you love to golf, you love to travel, you have a beautiful wife, beautiful family, and here you are on Saturday going, All right, Kevin, warm up the engines. Let's get Kevin. Quit pressing the wrong buttons.
By the way, it's been interesting watching you train in there. That's been fun. I've enjoyed that. Kevin, that's a great question, and it evolved into obviously it was very helpful for us in growing our brand, if you will, around town. Now it's a great way for us to communicate, and what I discovered early on is that I teach. I like to teach, and it's just something I want to do. But I also want to reach people in a way that is different in the sense that this is not a hard thing to do. You don't have to know anything about the market.
We could say talking into the microphone is not a hard thing to do.
Oh.
But making money, people believe that it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. And people that have listened to your program or they go to Petsa Financial,
yep,
you have a system. And you say it's, I understand 40 years of the free cup of coffee, but if you only have 10 years or 20 years,
yep,
but you really believe, and you're living proof of it, that it's not that difficult.
It's not. And Kevin, I appreciate that. It's not. I just want to get the message across to people, because I understood early that putting a few dollars, paying yourself first, putting a few bucks away, and watching teachers do that, and it's $25 a month, and then they'd get a raise, because they go through this grid, right? More time in and so on. And so it'd be like, all right, let's go to 35. And all they needed was just a little bit of a coach. It's like, okay. But if you're left on your own to start on your own, people don't. And that's why I always tell people, you have to start. That's the whole key. Just start. I don't care how much. Just give me $50. You have to start, right? And so for people who reach a certain level like we do, we're a very large advisory firm, actually. One of the largest in the Northwest. And so we have a lot of clients with a lot of money, and people have this perception you have to have a lot of money. And I'm like, you just need $50, man.
Well, some people, though, in your community, they go big game hunting and they don't care about the people.
They
with
do.
Money.
They do.
I've heard that from financial advisors. They get lost in the, I just want to deal with the big money people. But you deal with everybody. Why?
Because it's my purpose.
Yeah.
It just is. It's my purpose to teach them, to help them, advance. And the people that really need me are people that are probably, there's a mix of them, but the people that really need that and need to hear the message, they need to hear that cup of coffee a day that they can do it. Just all you have to do is be intentional. That's it. That's all you have to do. It's like, I am going to put away a cup of coffee a day. That's my start. That's what I'm going to do. And then from there, I'll see what happens. I'll let it build. But to sit there and watch the markets and know the markets and all that stuff, right? It's like Jacob in there. Jacob needs to give me a cup of coffee a day. That's the point. He needs to start. And then once he starts, you'll find that he can add to the program. And then when he has children, they get to go to college. Mm-hmm. And then when he gets to be a certain age and he wants to start his own business, he has capital to do it. And then people like Jacob work for him. That's how it works. That's how the system always works. But most people need that encouragement, and they need a person. That's why I want to keep doing it.
Well, more coming up with Dave Petsa. We're going to continue to examine this. Otherwise, it's back to the coronavirus crisis, which we'll talk about as well. This is Money Matters. I guess you'd say I'm your special co-host, where I get to ask Dave Petsa some questions right here. You're listening to KIDO Talk Radio. Welcome back to Money Matters. Kevin Miller in with Dave Petsa, KIDO Talk Radio. We were talking about the origins of this show, and it's been a while since we've talked, and there are so many new people coming into the Treasure Valley. I can remember, it was 11 years ago when I was at the Shiloh Inn. They brought me in to meet with these folks, maybe audition. I don't know what it was, an interview. And so, because I love radio, I turned on the radio and I hear you doing this show, and I go, man, who's this guy? And he only does it once a week. I mean, you could do talk radio. You're one of the few people I know, and I've dedicated my life to it, that you could do it without callers, with callers. You could easily walk into doing this every day. Earlier, we were talking about how you got started and why you continue to do this. But anytime we talk about the origins of Dave Petsa, we have to bring in your friend John Duane and Chris and what they've meant to you and what you learned from them.
Yeah. Well, you're probably going to get me emotional.
Well, in a good way. And, here's a young man that we still talk about John Duane, and we still talk about his legacy, and we still talk about the magic of radio and what was imparted to you and the how it was different from today. Mm-hmm. That, you know, back then they had a group, they had a bunch of people. It was an ensemble, and he was the orchestrator.
Yeah, he was a real good connector of people. But it was, as a time, you and I have talked about this before, when radio was just, it was just, pardon my French, kick-ass fun. It was always fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the mayor would come in, the governor would just stop by, and the studio was full of people. I remember it was a day when they would go up on the roof, and there'd be like a marching band up there waiting for the blue.
A marching band on the roof?
Yeah, this was down at the old Owyhee Plaza.
Right.
They were up on the very top.
Yeah, I've
top
been
floor,
to them, right?
We'll kick open the door, and John, I'd go up there and talk with him, because that's where they'd go up and have a cigarette break. John would have a cigarette
with
up
the
there.
Band.
Right. And they'd watch the Blue Angels fly over. Mm-hmm. It was a thing that, because they had, in those days, they had some people that would make calls. Hey, you want to swing by today and stuff like that, right? Everything's on you, Kevin, and that's what people don't realize, how amazing a job you do to be juggling all these balls. Here you are with me, which is today. At the same time, we ought to be in your bunker resting, right?
It's the voices in my head that keep me company. That's why I'm here with you.
It's good. We can distract them for a few minutes.
Right.
But the point is that you have no help compared to what used to be. Yeah. But there was a big ensemble of people. You're right. And it was a fun thing to do. But there is a gift in radio. And I learned, one of the things I learned was to tell stories and to talk about things before you did them. You go do them. And then you talk about it afterwards to create a persona. In those days, John could make John Tuso, who used to be the postmaster here, he'd come in every week and talk about the mail. There's nothing to talk about with the mail.
Right.
But he became a character of the program, right? So to whatever it is. So he would bring that out in an awful lot of people. And you know Dan Long, so he's Leaks, and
yes,
he'd come in and tell stories too. So I learned about storytelling and opening yourself up. And that's one of the things that people don't do enough of, is to have that kind of transparency. Yes, there's parts of me that people aren't going to know, that only my wife knows, or you and
right,
other people. Of course that. But to the core, if you're going to do this, in my opinion, you have to be honest and sincere about who you are. This is my message, and you mean it.
Right.
And you have to have passion about it.
Right.
You have to be unafraid.
Right.
You just to say, this is how I feel. And you're gonna, and I am afraid. I want people to like me. I do. It's probably one of my biggest problems, right? I've gotten over it as I've gotten older, that not everybody's gonna like me. But that was a hard thing to get over.
I can help you with that.
Can you?
Dave Petso with us, Money Matters here, and we'll get back to the economic news in a minute. But over the years, you've met a lot of people through this show. Is there a memorable show or an interview that really comes to mind? I mean, you talk to the senators, you talk to the governors, it's a rite of passage, the congressmen that come in here, but is there anything over the years, and if you could, for people that may not be aware, just how long you've been on this radio station?
Yeah, so long, I can't even remember the name of the
station,
attorney,
yeah,
that I, yeah, right, that I interviewed. It was really quite funny. I couldn't believe. It was just like, he just wanted to sell his book. It's like, okay, I'll put him on. That
right,
was fun.
But let me just say this. You were on this radio station when it wasn't even 580.
Yeah.
You were on it when it was 630. A lot of people don't know. You're actually more, you and the call letters, mm-hmm, are more consistent than the frequency and anything else on this station, which is amazing.
It's been a long time, right? And I think in radio in the Valley now, because of so many retirements,
right,
that I know of, I, you know, there's probably less than five people that have been on air as long as I have.
Yeah.
That's a weird feeling.
I'd say three.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird feeling.
Yeah.
But to think about that, because we were talking earlier about Rush Limbaugh, and I,
right,
you know, and the fact, because he was on this station, and
he
when
was,
he came around, he changed radio.
He did. Still does, really, to this day.
He does. He does. He's a monster impact, and that's why the people in radio are just, you know, praying for him to make it, right? Because he brings a seriousness to radio that wasn't there before,
right?
And this whole dialogue, the thing that I love about listening to you too, Kevin, is how much you get that connection with the audience, and you're trying to have that dialogue with people. And it brings out so many personalities from your callers, from you, and everything else.
But, oh, it brings a lot out, yes.
Radio is way different. When I started, it was really very different. And right. It was, but.
Well, Dr. Sally, you had Larry King.
Yeah.
Mutual Broadcasting Network, all those folks.
Yeah. Yeah. You got the history down. That's right. It was.
Oh, no. I listened in the day.
But I'd never been on the AM side until I started. I never knew the AM existed, right? I was just a kid. I was a teenager for practically, you know? And then it just was like, oh, I didn't know they did this anymore. I thought it was just old country or something on the.
Don't give them any ideas. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was just a. But anyway, I quickly became a fan of talk radio. When it became a more serious
but back to is there any like show where you've interviewed somebody or a caller? And again, I know we're going ways back here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. I mean, obviously the governors, the senators. I mean, that's a cool thing to get that one-on-one time with them.
It is, and I've always enjoyed that. I've always enjoyed understanding what's going on. I'd like to. My role in politics, from my perspective, what I'd always like to do, is I want to help. It's kind of like I'm doing with the going in front of the Senate to talk to them about some rules on annuities. You know, things like that.
You never talk
I don't
about.
Wanna run.
You know, I've listened to the show. You never talk enough about annuities.
And it's just because we want to. It's my passion is to try to help the people in the Treasure Valley, help the people everywhere. But I can't really come up with one specific. I wish I could. There was one interesting attorney. He's passed away now, and he was involved partially with the O.J. Simpson trial. That was very interesting, but I've lost his name. I'll get it hopefully before we're done here today.
Either Bob Shapiro or Kardashian or. We could go on and on.
Okay.
We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. What do you make of retired Governor Otter? You had a good relationship with him. You have a good relationship with Governor Little.
Yeah. I did. Because Butch was around more a longer time, of course, and I hope to get to know Governor Little better, and I hope I could be of some help in his administration, whoever is there, because I don't want to run for politics. But I'm interested in it, and I want to help. And I just think everybody who tries to help they have an agenda,
right?
And so I don't think there's very many people that are there for that help. So, but anyway, I thought Butch came from a standpoint of business, and I appreciated that very much. I always appreciate business people. Maybe that's why I have a heart a little earlier on for Trump. Than many, because I think businessmen fight for what's going to be good for our economy and good for business and not necessarily good for politics. And I admire that. And that's, to me, where our country came from, is that people came in, temporarily served, and left. Now they come in, they get rich while they're here in a political system, and they're part of the swamp. They are the problem. So when business people come in, I appreciate that. I don't appreciate as it over time that the political situation. I just didn't think in Idaho he used his business savvy as much as I wish he would have, as he unfortunately in my mind was in politics for a very 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 long time.
Sure.
And lost that business edge.
Could have won again. Could have had a fourth term, I think.
Do you? Yeah.
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 You hear him on the ads and stuff. He's got quite a legacy, but. Governor Little, we talk about leadership, whether you agree with it or not. He's out in the forefront right now.
Yeah, he is, and I wish him well. This is a strong test, and I think that for his leadership, and I think that people who dismiss that he's dead because he didn't open up early enough and things like that, this will pass. This will pass, and everybody will be going back. And the fact that we open 2 weeks later than somebody else is really not going to be an issue. And I do. It doesn't matter what he did. It makes no difference at all. There's going to be detractors for that. But this is a real test of his leadership. And I do hope that he gets out there in front of this a little more than he has. Because people, I heard him the other day on your show, Kevin, where he was talking about the fact that he didn't shut down the schools. Well, that's a messaging problem, because that's what I thought, too. I thought he did. That was a local decision. They need to tell the people that. So from a leadership perspective, that's the only thing that I think. He needs better messaging.
More with Dave Pezzo next on his show, Money Matters. Remember, you can reach Dave anytime at the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, on Facebook and Twitter. KIDO Talk.
Welcome back to Money Matters. Kevin Miller here with Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, talking about a few issues. You know, we take a look at the Treasure Valley, and this is a pretty big blow. But are you amazed that apparently real estate grew 18% during the Rona? Yeah. How does that happen?
I know. Probably demand is exceeding the supply because people are not bringing their homes on the market because they're afraid they won't sell, or they're afraid they can't move somewhere else. So, and they're stuck. Maybe they were going to upscale, but now they're worried about the business they operate, whatever. So things aren't moving as much, Kevin, but prices are, if we get through this, people are still moving to Boise, and prices are not going to decline much in this area. I think new housing prices are probably going to be declining some because there is plenty of that supply coming on now. You just don't stop building when you finally put in millions of dollars of infrastructure to put the roads and the utilities, pay all the taxes to the entities, and then you just don't stop. So I think they're going to be rolling forward and trying to sell houses, and they need to roll them out. So they're going to probably take 5,000-10,000 off, and if that works, great. If it doesn't, then they're going to find more and more pressure to come down even more. They've got to move those houses.
Right, especially with, as we've talked about, just the amount of building going on. I guess building a home is essential as opposed to, you know, a lot of other people in construction, they're a little bummed out. Look, this monstrosity next to us, these guys haven't missed a beat either.
Not at all. And they shouldn't, Kevin. It's outdoors. This is why I don't understand. Yeah. So you can't go to a swimming pool full of chlorine and sunshine.
Apparently,
but
the Rona,
you can build.
The Rona doesn't get killed by the chlorine. Building. Apparently, I don't know.
It does by sunshine? Does it not? Anyway. Okay.
Watch out. Well, we'll be talking Clorox in a minute.
I
don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
I know. But anyway, can't go to the beach. Can't go outside. It's a weird thing. But I guess people will go to Meridian and go use the swimming pool over there, right?
Yeah, Wahoo's, I believe, is going to be opening in Meridian.
And they should.
Yeah.
We need to move on with life. And if people make the choice, people can make that choice. Kevin, you don't want to go. You're nervous about it. Good for you. Then don't.
How do you balance that, though? You know, there's a way. And when we've taken a look at our coverage here, it'd be very easy to be, you know, down with government, this, that, and the other. But you have to be responsible. You have to be a responsible business owner.
You do.
And that's, you know, you take a look at the bars. The bars have, you mentioned the one that was featured on Fox News. You've got the one in Nampa, the one in Meridian. One in Meridian owned by a 69-year-old lady going, man, I'm losing 30 grand a month.
Yep.
I don't have a choice. And then, okay, devil's advocate with respect to her, somebody gets sick from being there.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, in
then
Washington.
She is shut down, yeah.
Right. And then in Washington State, which is crazy, they're actually, and I hear they're going to do this in Oregon as well, you go into a restaurant, they take your name so they can track you.
Yes, I have heard that. It's so strange. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Kevin, you're right. It's such a balancing act. And that's, you know, we were talking before, this is the fun thing about doing radio is it makes you think about both sides of this. It makes you think in a different way. And, you know, sometimes, for example, I listen to your callers or mine or anybody's, right? They have a set opinion. They're always going to be coming from this perspective. But doing the show makes you try to think of a bigger equation. You are right. And we do have a balance here. You can't just let people say, that's fine. Let's go ahead and all gather together and make sure this thing spreads crazily. But we don't have a problem in Idaho. We do not. So therefore, how can we safely, reasonably open it up and let people make their livelihood? And I don't know what the answer is for bars. You may not have a choice to go to a bar. But I certainly know that as we get into the summer, outdoor dining seems to be okay. It seems to be working fine. And places that are serving don't seem to be spreading it. Yes, we social distance or whatever. And hopefully people who are not feeling well don't go out. But the virus will run its course, whether we shut down or we don't. And that's the thing I always come back to. We can either do what Sweden does, get it over with, or we've done this other, but we can't keep doing this. And even though we shut it down, the virus kept spreading, even in places like New York with sharp lockdowns. It kept spreading.
Right. I think it comes down to, like anything, and we've talked about this for years on KIDO Talk Radio, confidence. You know, people talk about consumer confidence, but, you know, a lot of us, we like to go out. It's an event. It's entertainment, whether it's to a bar, especially a restaurant, and boom, that's gone. You wonder when people are going to have the confidence to go back.
Mm-hmm. And I think, again, it's back to something we talked about at the beginning.
Right.
This is a, to me, is also the way God wires everybody. Okay?
Sure.
I'm not afraid. Okay?
You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Okay, hold on. Let me give you the scenario.
Okay, but am I going to want to?
Let me give you the scenario, okay?
Okay.
You go to a restaurant, you got a waiter with a runny nose, da-da-da-da-da-da. Even though you're not afraid, in the back of your mind, you're thinking.
100%.
Or, okay, church, all the time. It drives me crazy when people cough on my back.
Yeah.
With all due respect, please don't cough on my back. I'm hardly a germaphobe, but so I give you that scenario.
Yeah. And I'll give you this. Yeah. If there are people that are that dense, that are, the manager allows a snotty-nosed waiter in this time to be out there on the floor, he needs to be fired. That's a walk out of a restaurant type of statement. People would. That's in my mind, okay? That's a freedom of choice for me, not being afraid to say, I don't want to catch whatever it is the guy's got. And I don't want his snotty hands on touching my stuff.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So I think that at the same, it's the same thing you walk into before all of this, 3 months ago. You walk into a place you don't think is very cleanly. You use the restroom and you're going, I'm not coming here again. Okay. I'll get my burger or whatever and leave, but I'm not coming back here. Because it wasn't clean in the first place. So I think that that people make their choices anyway based on a lot of stuff that isn't just right now. So, Kevin, I totally respect that people are afraid. I'm not saying this as a brave person. I'm not. I'm afraid of being eaten by a shark. I don't like to swim in deep water. But, hey, if I'm, you know, with a group, I figure I'm okay. I can talk myself out of it. I'm not a brave person.
As long as you're not the slowest swimmer.
Correct. Right. I figure I'm going to be okay. Right. So I don't do crazy things, but I want to have the freedom to make choices. I just look at it for me logically. I'm going to die of something. It's probably not coronavirus. I want to live my life. And so, but I also want to be a good citizen, and I also need to understand and have empathy for somebody who's not wired that way. They just aren't wired that way. And for me to give you all the evidence why you should change your mind, you're not going to. And it doesn't. And I shouldn't try. But what I want is for you and I to have that choice. And that's where I think we're changing to now. The pressure for these states to open, the pressure for people to have their freedom to choose is coming back. And you may not feel comfortable going to a restaurant. I might. I am comfortable now having friends over.
How close do you have to be to somebody though?
You don't.
How comfortable are you? I mean, you're in a restaurant and you got
right,
Billy and Slim right next to you.
And
are you going to be comfortable with that?
Well, the good news is I don't have to be because they're going to be having the tables distanced. And as we all know. That's how it starts.
Right.
And then in the long run, if we have therapeutics, why would anybody be worried?
Hmm.
If it's not going to kill you, why worry about it?
Well, they say it's not going to kill you.
There's the skeptic in you. But that's all right. And the point is everybody has their choice. And that is exactly how I think we move forward, is having that choice. If you're going to tell everybody, you got to this, you're making that up. That's science making it up. You're going to point to science and say, we could do this tracing, that tracing, this testing, da-da-da. Everybody comes in the building and you do this. But then at the same time, if you think that makes me feel safer on an airline, it doesn't. Because if I'm stuck in Newark because I spiked a temperature for no apparent reason, and I can't get home, I'm not going.